Good afternoon. I've spent countless hours and weeks preparing for this seminar or symposium since Wednesday night when Brother Jay asked me to do it with my son. But we have done things like this in Ghana, so we'll lean on our experience from the past, and God will really be with us today. I hope these guys don't feel like I'm an inquisitor in the Spanish Inquisition. But we will be asking questions and hopefully have time for some questions from you for them or for whatever, wherever those questions need to go. This is a little interactive, so be ready with those questions. Also, Jill bought me a pair of jeans because she thought it'd be cold, and she was right. And they're a little baggy. I don't like the way they cut these modern jeans, so if you see me pulling my jeans up, I'm not trying to be one of those modern lowrider guys. So I'm a little self-conscious of that, you know. Up here talking about parenting, and, you know, it'll go good, though. We're gonna make it work. Just keep pulling on my britches, yeah. Let it out. Yeah, it's good to laugh a little bit, isn't it? I love being a parent. Love my son. Very proud of him, as you know. I love my daughters. Love my adopted daughter, Abby, and my adopted daughter, Lima, and Jackson. And had experience with them, and not every kid I've taken has been easy, but it's always worthwhile to be a parent, because, you know, the worst thing is orphans and widows in their distress, and we're told to help them in their distress. And it's been my conviction that if all of us who are Christian parents could do more parenting, the world would be a better place. And so that's what we've tried to do, and we have learned many things in the years, and these guys will have things to share with us. But to illustrate the joy of being a parent, I just grabbed my hippie Bible here with my colorful Bible cover from my daughter. And I have in here a couple real quick notes. Dear Dad, always sad to see someone leave, but especially sad when you leave. I've really enjoyed being able to spend some time with you over the past week. I've realized how much I miss your Bible teaching and just being around you. The kids, too, are really going to miss their grandpa. It's so nice to have someone be a part of our lives who can have fun with, but also someone who can help lead us closer to perfecting ourselves. Thank you for all you do. And this is from Gloria. Wonder, who is Asher, and she's an adopted girl in Ghana. Got a note here from Alima. Happy Father's Day. I'm glad that God brought me into your life. You're the greatest dad any girl could ever ask for. You're one in a million. Yeah, I love that note. Keep that one. All the bad things you throw in the trash, you know, and you forget them. But maybe I'm just trying to say, I think I might have a little qualification to speak about parenting because had a chance with my wonderful wife to do a lot of it. And then I have this note before we start. Dear Mommy, this is from Anastasia to my daughter Rebecca. And I seized this note as soon as I got it. And this is about, you know, what we're headed for, the joy of having kids that love the Lord. I love you. This is written Friday. She has a date on it. It's great. 8/7/2011. Wow. Dear Mommy, she's 8. I love you. Thank you for being my mommy. Thank you for loving me and caring for me, even when I'm sick. Thank you for letting me be your firstborn daughter. You had a big choice. Now, I love you. Thank you for making me cookies. And thank you most of all for taking care of me. I want to please you and God, please you and God. And thank you for teaching cursive and most of all the Bible. Cursive writing. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus, thank you for helping me to go to heaven. I love you very, 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 very much. I didn't exaggerate. Jesus will help you not to worry. Is that what that says? Jesus will help you? Is that what it says, Rebecca? That's great. Not to worry. You need that help, don't you? Love, Anastasia. And to think that Rebecca was one we worried about. All right. Now we... You just never know. There's hope for everybody. She got her last spanking at 15, so it wasn't that bad. Well, we're going to start you guys with questions. How do you want to go? Hold it first. All right. Just take it the way you want to, these questions. Or you can just avoid them. No comment. Your first question is, how did you ever get married? And why did your wife say yes to you? Because that's the origin of family. So. Boy, Stan looks like he wants to kick me or something.
I have no idea what she ever saw, but I'm glad she did. You know, so I don't. Beyond me, I mean, God evidently saw what I needed and gave it to me, and it was a lot. So
I ask myself that question all the time. No idea. The thing with my life was, both of us grew up in the Christian school here in Bozeman, and I personally believe that God brought us together, and there were people that influenced us getting together, but we had an eternal goal in mind separately before we ever got married, and a spiritual one, and so I think it was all God.
For me, it was actually selfish. I'm honest. I was looking for someone to help me to get to heaven. And so I was looking at the character of, young ladies. And Camille was that individual. But really, I mean, God put it all together. I mean, it's kind of strange. I actually was a single parent at the time, and Camille's mother was watching my daughter. I had double overnights with my work. Well, Camille was going to college, but she came back, and Renee, my daughter, said, "Oh, Camille's my best friend." And so I said, "Well, if you want, what kind of a deal? What I would do is I would take my daughter to dinner when I'd get home." And so I said, "If you want, you can invite her." And so, slick, I know. Anyways, salesman, yeah, I know. But I mean, one thing just led to another. I mean, we realized that we really were looking for the same things, had the same goals in life, and boy, it's just been happily ever after since. I mean, and one thing, in all honesty too, is I brought lots of baggage, way more than she did, and but she's really been positive and made it all work. So but I guess that answers that question from me.
In brief, as much as you would feel it proper or profitable to share, could you disclose or share about your family of origin, your own parents' family, and maybe things that you want to take from that, or if you want to share things that you want to leave there from your own background, your own families of origin?
I got the mic. I'll go first. Family's origin, my parents next year will be married for 60 years. And so that's what I always wanted, is to be married to the same woman. We've had fellowships in our house with, 10, 12, 14 young kids, teenagers. And we'll look around the room and there's not one of them there that has a mom and a dad that are still together. And so, I mean, that's one thing that I, really appreciate, origin. I guess the other thing, on a negative side, is my parents really never were the type that said, "I love you." And maybe late in high school, my dad could say it. And so I actually decided that was something that I wanted in my family. And it's something that we do all the time. And, it's what we do. So that's just a couple things. So.
Well, I could go way back, but my parents, I was born, raised in a Lutheran background. My mother's family they're pretty devout Lutheran, real devout Lutheran. My dad's family was pretty much, they had never been in a church, and they were pretty heathen. My dad was an alcoholic, pretty much, and you know, I went through quite a bit with that, and watched my ma suffer a lot because of that. Never really the kids so much. I've got two brothers and a sister, and just raised in that. Finally, my dad got so brutal. My ma had to leave him, and you know, I just I can remember one time. We used to live out in the country, and my dad would I'd stay and play basketball, and I'd wait for my parents to come pick me up. Now, on the days that my dad had to pick me up, I knew he'd always be late, and you know, it's winter time in Michigan, it's getting dark, and I'd be the only one in the school building. And my dad would have been down at the bar drinking, and I'd be sitting there. Sometimes the janitor would let me stay in. Sometimes they'd make me stand out in the cold. But I said to myself then, you know, one of my kids is never going to have to wait for me.
I'm a Jacobs. I don't know what more to say. I have a great family. We're talking about a physical family. From the time that I can remember when I was little, I've always been a part of the Christian school and the church here in Bozeman, and my parents made sure of that, and my grandparents as well, Hank and Peggy Jacobs. They paid our way to make sure that we were in the Christian school. So I've been very, very blessed from the Lord to have had that opportunity. A lot of people, you know, we are now getting into a generation that has had that opportunity, an entire generation that is coming up that is on fire for the Lord. The Wilson family is another great example. There's many, many more. But we're finally to a point in our life where that family that was able to make the choices when we were young, very, very young, to put us in the school, we now have a generation of children where the church is going to explode. You can see that. You're going to see that here in Bozeman. You see that in Billings, in Montana, and it's I attribute that to the foresight of Mr. Wilson, for one, converting my grandparents and then them talking my parents into moving over here, and my parents making it a priority in their life all throughout. And so it has made the difference in mine and my brother's life. And so from a physical standpoint, the Jacobs family has been awesome. I love them to death. My dad's got one of the biggest hearts of any man I've ever known, and I love him for that. And my spiritual father, Mr. Wilson, who's brought me along the long ways and helped me to become who I am today, I appreciate it, and we're ready to make this thing roll.
Well, we can see, you know, three different men, three different stories. Appreciate that, Stan. I mean, you get up here in front of everybody and start spilling your guts out. It's hard, but there are different backgrounds. And my son has a question in 1 minute, but this leads me to a real quick follow-up question. You're all Christians. Could you tell when quickly you became a Christian and what difference that made in your perspective, or you know, if it didn't, but...
I was 16 when I became a Christian. In fact, I was immersed at the Hoagland's property, right behind there, and the Renner's property back in the river right back there. And having been raised in the church, I, like Timothy, always knew the oracles of God ever since I was, you know, could understand what it meant. So as I, week by week, listened, and my parents made it a priority that we would be at assembly on Sunday mornings and evenings, when I realized I was accountable to the Lord, it was the next step in my life that was pretty obvious. And so for me, it wasn't like a paradigm shift, because I always knew what I needed to do, but I knew I couldn't do it without the Lord. And the scripture is very clear that without Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, we are not going to be able to get it done. And I wanted so much, having been raised in the school, to be a part of what is being done for the Lord, when I was immersed, that's when my time started for Him. I was His chess piece, His pawn, to be put into place, and now I'm ready.
Well, I would, sometime shortly after Annette and I were married, said I had been raised Lutheran, but I had given that up partway through, shortly after my catechism, which was in junior high, so probably when I was old enough to drive myself, then I didn't go that way. But, you know, after Annette had been married, her brother actually came out and shared the gospel with us, and he was out in Great Falls at the time with the church, and we gave us some of Jay's study books. We looked them over. Probably she looked them over. I don't know that I looked them over too much, truthfully. Truthfully here. and there happened to be a Church of Christ right around the corner from where we lived. So we gave them a call, and he came over with his Jewel Miller flip book. And after we got through the fifth lesson, my wife was ready to be immersed, and I was too. I mean, I got more immersed more because I thought of not. I don't think I was really convicted at the time. That I know I wasn't convicted that immersion was the only way, but I didn't want to. I wanted to do it as a team. I wanted to do whatever we did together. So I was immersed, wasn't really till we moved out here. And when I learned the true meaning of conviction and knew I had to have some of my own in order to raise my boys to have conviction and my daughter. So that's my tale.
For me, I was actually raised as a Catholic, and as a kid, the Catholic Church went through a time where they didn't have enough priests, and so I actually, as a kid, thought, you know, I could really be a priest, but the only problem in my mind was that priests couldn't get married, and I even knew as a child that I had attraction to women, and so I didn't know how that was ever going to work. In all honesty, I was dark. I was lost. Had no idea what the truth was. It was through marriage problems. I had a wife that was having an affair, and that we needed help. I actually looked in the Yellow Pages and got in Great Falls, they have what's called the Crisis Center. And I told them, I needed somebody, number one, that could get married, because I didn't see how a Catholic priest could help me with my marriage when they couldn't get married. And they just picked a couple names out of the phone book, as far as I can tell. Anyways, and of course I was praying. You know, I realize now at this time that God couldn't hear my prayers, but the right individual, probably the same guy that converted Stan, actually came to my door, and boy, we had Bible studies. You know, one thing, I always had a heart that I wanted to please God. I just didn't know how. At that time, I was really involved in stock car racing. In fact, it was what we did. I mean, you know, I still have a brother that builds motors and stuff. He had Friday nights free to have this Bible study. And I decided that, okay, we're going to do it, and I'll miss an hour of the stock car races to have that Bible study. And so from my heart, I wanted, you know, to do the right thing. I just didn't know how. But ultimately, again, God worked out all those details. It's not anything that I did. The thing is Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And so in the long run, I mean, all the bad things that you go through and all the tough things are all really positive in the long run. And but you can't see that when you're going through those things. But through bad things, I became a Christian. Through bad things, it all, you know, God healed it all. So so I guess that's kind of my tale, too.
Thank you. My first question for you guys kind of has to do with your relationship with God, because you kind of just talked about that. What kind of impact would you say your relationship with God has on your relationship with your kids? And kind of the flip side of that is, what kind of impact does your relationship with your kids have on your relationship with God? Do you see any correlation or connection between your relationship with God and then your relationships with your kids?
I guess for me, I would have to say, I have to go back to my childhood. Number one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I feared my physical father to the point of death. I mean, I was afraid of him. And so it was easy for me to fear God. Right from the get-go, I kind of saw my dad as a Godhead figure. And so I tend to see myself then in the same light, that I need to be the example to my children that Jesus would be. I think it has a direct correlation in everything I do with my kids. To really seek first the Lord's kingdom, if I'm going to really do it, they're going to be the first ones to know that I'm not doing it. I wouldn't be afraid if you could actually have them all come up here, and because I'm just who I am. I'm straightforward. They know it. I think it's a direct correlation. How they see us, you know, men, is how they're going to see God in a lot of ways. And so if we're unjust, then they're going to see God as unjust. If they're just, they're going to see God as just. If they see the fire of Daddy, they're going to kind of see that God has a fire about him. All those things in every area. And so, we just kind of have to wear that all the time and realize that. You know, on the other side of that, and actually this is kind of something I learned from Stan, is that, and God, he said this one time, we learn more from our kids in a lot of ways about who we are. Somebody was saying about their wife this week that, boy, when she speaks, Jim Derry, that then he has to examine himself. Well, boy, that's the same way when your kids speak. You do have to do some self-examination. Where am I at? And maybe there is some repentance. And I've found myself this very week, I've really been driving my son Levi over there. He's my oldest. To be the oldest, to be the example. But I've fallen short being his example. And I think, Levi, did I get a record this week for times of apologizing to you? Probably. Anyway, so he's still working on me, but along with me working on him. So, anyways.
You know, it's very clear through the scripture. I mean, God uses the example of the family and the father is supposed to be the head of the spiritual head of the family. So everything you do is passed on. And like Tom said, you know, if there's you're not going to hide anything from your kids. I mean, they're more perceptive than... You know, they just see everything. So you're not going to hide it. So either you're real or you're not. Either your faith is real or you're not. You know, and so you try to exemplify the characteristics of God in dealing with your children. And you know, vice versa, you know, I guess, with the opposite way, with how it affects them, you know.
There may still be this up. If you go into the foyer in here in the building, there's a bulletin board with pictures all over it. And there's a picture of my wife and I. We just got married, and she has Emma. I think you see her, I have Emma in our arms. And in the picture, if you look at it, it's kind of funny because we look like, her and I look like deer in the headlights with a little baby. And because we're like, what'd we do? And to be honest with you, I still to this day wonder for sure how to, you know, we're talking about the relationship of God, but I wonder how I'm supposed to raise my kids and if I'm doing it right or doing a good job. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing it right because everybody does it a little bit different. But here's what I do know. I love the Lord with all my heart. And I think that trickles its way down to my kids. And so the relationship is pretty obvious that if I love the Lord, then He's going to work out the details that I may not know because my kids are different than yours. And you're going to have maybe a way that works better. Maybe you have a child that needs a little bit more aggressive attention, one that needs a little bit less. And it's difficult to figure out how do we manage that. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. And He works out the details for you. And in the end, as you yourself kind of exemplify to all of us with your dad, it works out really well.
Thanks a lot, guys. Heavy questions with you know, endless possibilities to answer. And appreciate you just coming from the heart. Little lighter, easier ones. What would be a favorite family activity that you've done together that maybe bred family unity, solidarity, thought was positive? And maybe throw in their favorite place that you've had as a family and maybe favorite activity or movie or something like that. If you share a little bit about that, I appreciate it.
I guess in my mind, and I'd have to kind of defer to my wife a little bit here, but for an activity that I think really helped us come together, we took the kids to Disneyland, which is always a kid's dream, and it was a kind of an activity that we grew together and just got close, something we obviously saved for, and they knew how hard we had to work to make it happen. Once in a while, we'll get a family movie, nothing in specific, but we do like to kind of get together and have that a night where we watch a movie together and something that inspires maybe all of us. Soul Surfer was something we got together with our fellowship group, for example, and all of my kids were able to come over and my wife, and we sat outside, got Jeff's Landscar's projector, put it on the side of Nick's house, put a sheet up, and put some speakers to it and blasted it out there so the neighbors could hear us until 1 o'clock in the morning. And it was a great time. I mean, it's the stuff that brings your family together. And so I highly encourage, you know, as dads especially, be a part of those. Definitely be a part of those family nights. And if you don't have it going, get it going.
Well, without question, it'd be unanimous, our family. The most thing we did was right here at family camp. That's one thing that has priority over everything for us, and we just, that was our goal. We knew that was what we were going to do, and do it as a family. And the other thing I think that really bonded us as a family was every spiritual activity here in Bozeman that we made a trip to and made an effort to be down here for. You know, I joke that we wore out 4 vehicles just driving to Bozeman for the last 20 years. But you know, we probably have between all the basketball games and the spiritual warriors and, you know, being in the car together and the times riding together back and, you know, back home afterwards, and you know, we'll have our discussion and, you know, who is the best preacher and all that kind of stuff, you know. No pressure on you guys. So. Shoes on the other foot a little bit now. I'll take advantage of that. No, but, you know, we had talked like things like that. And that, to me, I think, is one of the great bonds of our family. You know, the other, probably one of the other defining moments when we had our son Tony, and we put in the children, we had to put in work as a team doing his patterning every day for hours a day, and it really developed some teamwork, you know. And, you know, one thing that is kind of embarrassing to me, Tony's birthday is in June, and I often forget that, but my kids have just never forget when you know, and that was out of town here for his birthday a couple years ago. You know, they already had the flowers out there planted on his grave, you know, and before I even thought about it. So, you know, adversity sometimes. Really, I don't even look at that as adversity. That was one of the greatest blessings we've ever had for what it did to my family, and I believe the kingdom, too. So.
I withstand. I think family camp peaks are, you know, I have 4 boys at home right now, and boy, peaks, that's like, they really look forward to that. One thing that we did last year was we went on a backpack trip. We went with a baby in diapers. We went with a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old. And everybody had to pack their stuff. Well, not totally, but my wife went. Yep. We went on a 3-day backpack trip. In fact, it's where we used to have peaks up at the Tobacco Roots, 3.5 miles to the lake. And, I had about 65 pounds on my back, and I had a stroller with 3 wheels. I figure it had 70 pounds. It was intense. You know, initially you're just kind of excited to get out of the truck and get going. And there's more than one lake up there, and we got to the first lake, and I was thinking it was it. It wasn't it. In fact, it was, you know, infested with mosquitoes, and everybody's done. We were done. And so I said, we still got about 0.5 mile. And coming out of that lake was like this, and just rocks. I mean, it was a major 4-wheel drive trail. And I could just see my family just being disheartened because they had to go on. And so I said, let's just have lunch. You know, we had lunch. And boy, you know, it's kind of like, you know, David, you know, feeding his, you know, men from the Lord, revived, could go on. And it was no problem to make it. But, I mean, the, things like that really build character. You know, I guess really from my perspective is it's going through some adversity. I mean, in a camping trip that you plan, this is the other thing that my wife did. She's really good at encouraging my kids. She went and just got some old shirts, and she wrote on them, "One tough kid." And she's thinking, yeah, when we're done with this, we're just going to pitch these shirts, you know. Man, those kids, they were their 90s for the year. They were, I mean, they wanted to wear them. And, I mean, they were, but because of what they were able to accomplish, my four-year-old carried a four-pound backpack, or an eight-pound backpack. Okay, four-year-olds don't do real well on the level. Okay? Let alone a pack. He did awesome. My six-year-old, I think it was a 14-pound pack. My nine-year-old daughter carried 24 pounds, 24, and my 11-year-old carried 33 pounds. You know, and we weighed them, and we, you know, just, you know, things like that. I mean, we put ourselves through it, but it was to build some family unity, some family, you know, we can do this together. There was times my son that had the 33-pound pack was carrying the 8-pound pack too, you know, because little brother is not having a good time doing this. I mean, and so it was real positive. And so I think things like that, you can really build your family. And so that's just one thing that we've done. And they're all looking forward to the next one. We were moving this year, so we couldn't plan it, but they really want to do it again. So.
Yeah, I think it was Gary Smalley said that to build family unity, you should take them camping and pray it rains. We had an interesting situation in Kokomo country where we didn't have a fly on our tent, and it came down. It was rough, but afterwards it's something to talk about. And to the next question, Matt kind of talked about this yesterday, about keeping the culture out and that challenge or that battle. What are some ways you guys, I guess, counter the culture or keep it out or deal with it? How do you help your kids deal with the immensely oppressive American culture?
I don't know how many of you know my family. We've been in Butte for 5 weeks. We just moved. And before we moved, I guess what I decided in my mind is we would have to go to Butte and change the culture. Ezra can probably remember me telling him that's what we got to do. And so that's kind of our picture. And so we're looking for things, you know, to do that. Number one, I take my kids to work with me. And so people get to see me interact with my kids. They get to, you know my kids. We're having actually an impact. I have a Bible study through that. In fact, actually, Pearl's the one that got this gal to church. And, I was able to get a Bible study. Just other things. I mean, this is just us, but this is the mining city, and they're the miners, and there's a big M, and it's lit, right? You know, tonight it'll be lit. Okay, that stands for McDonald's. Okay? McDonald's in Butte. Okay? Mr. Wilson pointed this out, and I actually did remember it after he told me. He says, you know, if they win, he says, they put a V, you know, where the M comes together, they light up the V. And I said, yeah, McDonald's, you know, so now McDonald's have the victory in Butte. And so I think it's, you know, little things. But, I mean, boy, you know, number one, we don't have TVs. We have TVs, ones to play DVDs and ones to play VHS. Okay, but it's in the cabinet or wherever. I don't even know where it's at. We've moved. It's in the closet. Okay. My kids don't watch TV. Okay, they love movies. I bet they haven't watched a movie unless they've watched one at Grandma's house all summer because we've had an intense summer. Okay, that's one way to keep the culture out. They have no video games. Now I've taken them to Bible studies, and man, the kids are in the back playing video games, and that's all I hear all the way home is about the video games. Okay, so I mean these are things that we're doing and making the effort. We don't want them to ever have them. okay? Because that's the culture. Man, I tell you. You know, my kids, they know more about iPods than I do. They know more about all this stuff than I do, and they've never had one. Really. And so, boy, I tell you, it's a battle, but that's where the battle is for the family. And so that's where we're going to take it. And hopefully, it's hard to keep them on board. It's got a tremendous pull. You know, I'll just be honest with you, because I mean, I hear about it all the time. You know, these kids have it, those kids have it. You know, when do I get my cell phone, Dad? Such and such has a cell phone. You know, and man, we're so technology oriented. I take my kids in these stores, and the Walmart stores do not allow my kids in the back. So I have to go back there by myself, and they have to stay out on the floor. And this is at 6 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes I come out and I can't find them, and I wish they had a phone I could call them, but there's no way I'm going to go that way. You know, they've went to the bathroom or something. But anyways, that is a tremendous stronghold that Satan's working that we got to really be aware of. So.
Let's jump in. Our time is coming. Our time's starting to end, so we have to cut things a little short on the question answers and give time for the audience. Y'all are doing great. I just wanted to add to that, you know, a little example of how I have to be cautious is there was a movie I wanted my children to see. I thought it was quite good. But I actually waited till all the previews were done and then let them go in. And so it's little things like that, I think, make a difference sometimes. It's working all the time. But let's just move on to the next question. This is a big one. How do all three of you see your family's role in the kingdom as a family? And you've probably answered that somewhat. So the other two maybe take that up.
Well, I see my family having a very vital role, like everybody else. You know, it's being there to share the gospel, take it out. You know, raise my grandchildren now to be godly. You know, they certainly have a role in that, and you know, they have all showed a willingness and desire to work in the school and to work with others. I mean, the big thing about being in the kingdom is being willing to lay down your life for others, no matter what it is, whether it's helping someone already in the kingdom who's struggling, you know, babysitting, whatever you can do. It's just being a part and being active in other people's lives. And, you know, I don't think you can do much more than that, is just give of yourself and for others. And that's, to me, the key for the kingdom to going forward.
Because my wife is heavily involved in the school here in Bozeman, and involved in my children's education, and I'm in, you know, don't get me wrong, she doesn't do everything, but I'm involved with that as well. I see our family always being a part of the growth of the kingdom. One of the plans that I have and have had for many years is at the consent of my children when they get to an age where I feel that it's a good time for them, I plan on taking each one of them on a mission trip. And I've already got in the works with Mr. Steve Doty to get my daughter Emma, who's now 13, into Russia with me and with Mr. Doty. And I think that as I expand their view outside of Montana, that great things can happen from our kids having had the opportunity to grow up in the school and to have known about the Lord all their lives, and then to be able to teach that to other people, maybe even outside of our own world here. And maybe one of them will want to go to Africa someday or something. But, New Zealand, sure. So I think that our role in the church, not just my own family, my brother's family, is going to be vital. I see it being very vital to the growth of wherever our circle of influence can be. Because God has put us here for a good reason.
Thank you again. In the Bible, we see the elders had to have, you know, excellent families, but also the deacons in 1 Timothy 3:12. And it's about management, I think. And how do you and your wives manage your household on a daily basis? How do you team up on that? And how well do you think you're doing? If each of you would try to quickly answer that one.
So, let's see if I'm understanding your question correctly here, Jeff. Managing the household for the goal of an eldership?
No, the Bible says to be an elder or deacon, both, you have to be good.
To be an elder or deacon, you have to be a good manager.
Okay.
If not, you shouldn't be a deacon or an elder. So right. How are you working on that or doing the management thing as a husband with your wife? And so forth?
My view on my kids for management, number one, I have 3 points on this, I guess. Number one is, if you want to be able to manage your kids well, you better marry well. If you don't marry well, you can forget it. You can try all you want, but it takes two of you. The second thing is, the sooner as a Christian male you figure out that this world is not about you, but that it's about Jesus Christ, and it was for Him, and you get over yourself, the better off you'll be in your management of your own household. And my third point on that question would be, regard other people as more important than yourself, especially your kids. Because when they know that you view them as you feel the Lord views you, then you're doing a good job of managing your household. You know, to be honest, my kids are going to make some mistakes, and that's okay with me. And if they make mistakes and upset one of your kids and you get mad at my kid and come to me, I don't care. I want it to be pleasing to the Lord. I really do. What matters to me is how my kids look to the Lord. And if they have to fumble and stumble their way to that realization, I'll direct and help and try to be a good example as I possibly can. But I want them to know that I love them very, very much, and that they are more important to me than my own life. I'd do anything for them.
I'd say basically I just try to do what she tells me to do. It works out pretty good that way. It works out pretty good that way. When I don't, it doesn't work out so good.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think I'm just going to go with what Charlie had to say so we can move to the next one.
If you could, in a few sentences, how would you define or sum up parenting? Well, if you were to go with an operational definition for yourself of parenting, your goal in parenting and how you see parenting, how would you define it?
Kind of a tough question to put you on the spot for, but...
Fun. I have 7 kids. I must enjoy kids. I have 2 grandkids. It is work, but it's a labor of love. It's, I think, as Charlie said, it's constantly denying yourself. But again, you know, for the Lord, but it's for their good too. I guess that's how I'd sum it up.
Well, as a parent, my goal was to raise my children to have a faith of their own, not my faith, their own faith. And when the time came and whatever happened, that they could stand by that faith.
Summing up parenting is difficult for me because my wife's still raising 4 of us. But no, I agree with Tom on this one. It is a lot of fun. And I'm coming to the realization that I'm actually interested in expanding our ability as parents, like Jeff has, to more kids that could use that and be, you know, come to the Lord maybe because of our family. We have a great family, and I would love to see more kids that could use the help be a part of that. So we're kind of looking that direction as well. And it's a great, I mean, when you have a godly marriage and you're in an assembly that putting the church first and is moving forward and is making progress and is becoming new creatures every day, there's nothing like it. It's great to be a part of it. Everybody that's here should be thankful that we're allowed to be a part of this right now.
You know, I try to talk to young people who are planning to get married or thinking about it and counsel them, but at some point I tell them it's a learn by doing, and it is an act of faith to get married, especially when we know what we know about the government, the world, what the Bible says, and what we know from analysis. So, all three of you, what would you do differently, having learned by doing to this point? And what would you say to a young couple that are seriously thinking of getting married, or a young man who's maybe, or lady who, well, let's talk to the men. They have to take more of an initiative.
As far as the marriage goes on my part, I wouldn't do anything differently. I counseled Mr. Wilson a little bit about my wife on our many trips to Missoula, and my parents and her parents, and I always knew she was a great woman, and so from that standpoint, if you're single, if you're looking for some advice from me, you're looking for somebody to marry, be really picky about it, in the sense that you want to make sure you get the right partner, because if you get a bad partner, it's very difficult to have the joy and the fun that you do have in a family. So I did it right, and I think the guys that are up here would say the same thing. We did it right because we picked someone that was godly and that had the same goals. So if I were to do it all over again, I'd do it exactly the way I did it. I just, she's awesome.
How would you do things also is with your family differently too? That would be part of the question. Not just how you picked your wife. You would say, hey, watch out for, or would you want to defer on it?
The one thing I would do differently is I would put more effort into being a more godly father, you know, doing a better job, setting a better example for my children. That would be, I don't know if I have any specifics to answer your question there, but that would be the main thing. If I could start all over again, that I would put it more effort forward with that. As far as advice, I agree with Charlie, you know. Make sure, because it's either will be the best thing you ever did or it'll be the worst thing you ever did. So make sure you're choosing for someone who has the same goals and ideals and is kingdom-minded, you know. That's what you're looking for. That would be my advice.
Well, I guess from my perspective, which is different than both these guys, I did it wrong the first time. I actually remember I've been married twice, and the first time I even remember before the wedding thinking it was not the right thing to do. And I did it anyways. And, you know, planning to make it last, my first marriage lasted 10 years, but it was never good. It was never great. And so, you know, the second time as a Christian, I, again, and this may be selfish, but it's kind of what you're looking for, in that you're looking for someone. See, we want somebody that loves Jesus more than they love us. And so, you know, kind of my, and I've had people ask me, and I tell them to look for somebody that is going to help them get to heaven. Because that means they will love you more than they love themselves in ways. And they will help you and encourage you, even when you don't deserve it, you know, but when you need it the most. Picking the right individual is huge in building a family. I mean, it is the cornerstone. It is the foundation. The husband and the wife. And you know, I don't know how many are here from broken homes, but it's because the foundation wasn't there. And so, start with a good, solid foundation. Number one, you got to take care of you. See, and that's the other thing, is so many get into marriages and they're going to change that individual or help them change. But why not just find one that's already ready to go? That's already doing it. I mean, that makes all the difference. And so, you know, I guess that's the, you know, the biggest thing. I mean, I'm still learning, so I don't know what I'd change. Maybe have more kids. I don't know. Okay, she's done, though.
You like my message from Monday, then.
Sounds good. I was going to kind of throw out, Charlie mentioned, like, with Jeff, three of my children are adopted. And so two of them are actually adopted. One we just kind of have, you know, he's called my son, and we had him since he was, like, 14. And so, but I mean, just bring people in, you know, the same way and make them your children. You know, we can do that. But again, you can't do that if you don't have a husband and wife that are on the same side and with the same goals and with a focus. There's no way to do that. But, you know, Jeff is doing that, you know, Charlie, because he and Denny are on the same page, are ready to do that. And I bet there's some others here that could do that. And boy, there's kids out there of all ages that could use it. So,
yeah, just a little warning for everyone on that item. You have to be willing to have your heart broken. It's like discipleship. You work with some people for many years, and they decide to leave the church. And I can say from experience that not every child you take in will be grateful, just like not the Africans that all sit under the mango tree and say, Buana, thank you, thank you. Sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it should. I was talking to Cliff Renner, and he had a little seminar before they took in Tammy, and they were told it takes 50% of their age before they will bond. So if you take in a 10-year-old, you're talking to 5 years where they'll bond. And if they're over a certain age, 12 or 13, it often doesn't happen. AC school manual says don't take a child in after they're 13 to your school. I just checked it recently. So we have to be willing to count the cost and decide whether to take the risk of taking children that other parents messed up with and seeing what we can do. But I want to say it's worth it. It's worth it because just like in discipleship, families are a bit of a gamble. In a sense, you do your best and you trust God for the rest. And yet at the same time, the Bible gives us assurances. And I believe this is especially true for our own children. That if you'd raise up a child in the way of the Lord, when he's grown, you'll not depart thereof. So we have the Lord to back us up. So we're out of time. Sorry, we can't take questions from the audience. These guys have been in the spotlight here. They have been on the firing squad, in front of the firing squad, so to speak. They didn't know anything about what I would ask them. And I didn't even know who they would be until an hour or two ago. So I appreciate them. I know you do. Give them a hand.